My guest at this time is Dr. Merrill Matthews. He is a resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation in Dallas, Texas. He joins me now to explain in a little more detail what exactly President Trump has accomplished through his first executive order, which directs federal agencies to ease the burden of Obamacare. It's obviously one of a multitude of steps that the president hopes to take in terms of eventually repealing and replacing Obamacare. And Dr. Matthews, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You believe that this is an important step and a critical step, but for a lot of people just reading the headlines on this, it seems rather vague. He's directed federal agencies to ease the burden of Obamacare. That could go in any number of directions. What does it specifically do?
Indeed. I think you're right. It does seem rather vague, and I think it's intended to be rather vague. But the executive order that he released said that departments and agencies with control or authority over Obamacare under the Affordable Care Act, and I'm going to read this, shall exercise all authority and discretion available to them to waive, defer, grant exemptions, or delay the implementation of any provision in the Act. They can also, for any states, relieve the burden on states of cost, fee, tax, penalty, or regulatory burdens on individuals, families, health care providers, health insurers, patients, recipients, and so forth and so on. It gives it's a very broad statement which says those people who are in charge, basically the secretaries, primarily of Department of Health and Human Services, but perhaps also the IRS and maybe a few other agencies, have the freedom under this executive order to try to step in and say, we're going to try to reduce the burden of Obamacare, which regards to mandates, penalties, taxes, and so forth. So I think that gives the new incoming Secretary of HHS, assuming that's going to be Tom Price, a lot of discretion to say, we're backing off here, we're going to give states more flexibility here, we may not impose the penalty on people who don't buy qualified health insurance and so forth. So it's broad, it's vague, it's intended to be that. And I think the real implementation then comes from the various agencies that are overseeing it.
We're talking with Dr. Merrill Matthews of the Institute for Policy Innovation. And Dr. Matthews, I remember when the Affordable Care Act was passed, a lot of different sections pretty much gave discretion to the Secretary of Health and Human Services and some other administration officials to make decisions and implement policies, with the understanding, of course, that anything specifically instituted by a congressional statute can only be changed by another congressional statute. So is this essentially giving these officials the same power that Kathleen Sebelius and Sylvia Burwell have had to impose various things? Or does it give them even power over things that are specifically mentioned in the bill?
It's a good question, because what you're referring to is what Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, did legislatively by giving broad powers to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. If I remember correctly, there was nearly 3,000 references to the word secretary in the Affordable Care Act. Nearly all of those applied to the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and the language was the secretary shall determine, the secretary shall decide, the secretary shall set penalties, and so forth. So as you point out, the law itself gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services a lot of discretion to sort of carry this out. There's actually another problem is Congress ceding its power to agencies, but that's a different issue. But they did that in this, and I would argue that the ability to provide all that power to the secretary to implement the law also, in essence, provides a lot of power to the secretary to unimplement the law. And I think the key to the executive order that Donald Trump released in essence says, here's the flag. I'm showing you where I'm going on this. You have my permission to begin to scroll this thing back as far as you can within the limits of the law. It'll take more law to actually repeal aspects of it and other things, but the President Obama always claimed transitional authority, that was his term, to delay various things, minimize certain things and others so that the law could be implemented, and I think the new administration can claim transitional authority to unimplement some of those things.
Now, when Obama did that, he got quite a bit of flack from the right about overstepping his bounds, executive authority versus the official statutory power of Congress with the legislation that eventually became law. So is this just a matter of using this power in a way that the Obama administration did, or is there a little bit of hypocrisy going on here?
Well, once they set the precedent, it's hard not to it's hard to be too critical of it. And as you point out, conservatives felt like that was overreaching. But if the president overreached, I'm not sure that I'm not sure it's bad overreaching to sort of pull it back and to say you never had the authority to do that. We're in essence bringing it back to the status quo or the status quo ante by doing that. So we'll have to see how much this is the question we don't know. Do the new secretaries coming in, how much authority are they going to take for this? How far are they going to run with this? President Obama had moved the situation to the point where he said in a speech, I'm going to do what I feel like needs to be done out there, and if Republicans don't like it, sue me. I hope we don't have to go that far, and all that they're doing with this, I would argue, is simply a transition as Congress gets ready to repeal the law, which should be the at least major parts of it under what's called the reconciliation provision, should be within the next month. And so this is very temporary, and it's meant to sort of say begin really relaxing these burdens while Congress takes action to actually repeal and replace the legislation.
Finally, Dr. Matthews, because this is such a broad executive order, do you expect the president to issue any others, or does this pretty much cover what he wants to get done before Congress does its work on this?
Important question. My guess is, and this is just a guess, that he will listen to some of the advisors and Tom Price when he gets in at as Secretary of HHS. If they say, we need you to do this or that, he may issue another executive order if he feels like there's not enough, this doesn't provide enough discretion. My point is, this executive order was so broad that it allows for a lot of interpretation among the various agencies to try to begin to pull this back as Congress tries to finish up its work.
Well, we'll certainly be watching. And as you said, a lot to come in the weeks ahead as well. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Dr. Merrill Matthews is resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.